When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
How we doing? It's the final day of autumn. True story. So say goodbye and say hello to us, Evan and Tiki, for the next 4.5 hours. Very, very, very big show today. Bad Tiki makes his final appearance of 2024. We will get 4 more answers to the top 24 and 24, counting down the most memorable sports moments of the year. Well, here's numbers 8-5 later on today. A lot of football to get to, an update on Pete Alonso. But I have to tell you, and I may surprise you with this, today is a good day. Today is a really good day to be a fan of the New York Jets. Because despite the story that came out in The Athletic and all these crazy things like Woody Johnson's making decisions because of Madden ratings, Woody Johnson's going into the locker room and telling Mike White he sucks, Woody's kids are coming into the locker room and doing this and that, I'm not here to tell you that stuff's not true, because I believe most of it.
Same old Jets.
But I'm also here to tell you that this is rock bottom. And this is the moment, whether a lot of it's true, whether it's been heightened, whether it's just guys releasing this info with an axe to grind, I think this is going to be so embarrassing for Woody Johnson that he's going to realize, no mas. I really do.
What do you mean, no mas?
That he can't be this anymore.
What is he going to do?
Not be this?
Not be this or, like, not be the owner?
No, no. He's going to own the team.
Oh, okay. I was just misunderstanding what you were alluding
not
to
be
there for a
this
second.
Owner. The owner that supersedes trades because of Madden ratings. The owner that's walking into locker rooms. Like, I honestly think, whether a lot of it's true or not, because I was having this debate with friends of mine. They're like, I don't believe half the story. The Athletic has an agenda.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think the Athletic has an agenda. I think former Jet employees may have an agenda.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, this kind of embarrassing stuff, to me, is the moment where Woody turns into Leon Hess. And what I mean by that is, in 1997, Leon Hess knew, I've owned this team for 1 million years and we suck, and I got to do something different. And I honestly believe, and this is why I have optimism now about the Jet future, a story like this is a good thing. Because I think it's going to make Woody Johnson realize this can't continue anymore. And so, believe it or not, as I sit here today, I've got optimism about the Jet future. In fact, I have more optimism about the Jet future than I do the Giant future.
Well, I mean, yeah. The Giant future is complicated as well, because at least you know what the status is of your general manager and head coach. That is, you don't have one. And so you're starting a search to go find one with a 33rd team and Mike Tannenbaum, etc. Whereas the Giants are in limbo right now, without a clear direction on who the quarterback is going to be, not a solid belief that the head coach or the general manager is going to be here, and then a roster that, now decimated by injuries, looks completely inept. Now, that feels more short-term than the Jets issue, which seems more organizational, and there's got to be a sense of what you can and cannot do. I'm talking about from an ownership standpoint. I'm talking about from an ownership's kids standpoint. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a management of your roster, or just because you bring in an Aaron Rodgers type player and he wants this guy and this guy and this guy and do things a certain way. Like, that's not sustainable winning culture.
Agreed, so, by the way. Agreed.
If you're debating who's worse or who's worse off right now, it's a toss-up for the short term. I'm serious.
So pathetic.
It's a toss-up for the short term. Yeah. I think long-term, the Jets have the bigger issue.
You know what's funny? Before we engage in this even further, Met fans and Yankee fans have spent days upon days yelling at each other about we're the king of the town, we're big brother, all these insane arguments.
Right, but it's all good.
And it's all good. Like, if you take a step back, like, even the most ardent Yankee fan would say, ah, Mets are in a good place.
Right.
And even the most ardent Met fan would take a step back and say, ah, the Yankees are pretty good.
Yeah, they just were in the World Series.
Right. This argument amongst Jet and Giant fans on who's worse is a sad, sad state of affairs. Look, there's a lot of football things that are so different about these two teams. Like, the New York Jets are clearly going to hire a new head coach and a new general manager, and there's hope for them. The New York Giants are clearly going to draft a quarterback, but it looks like they're going to bring back their general manager and head coach. But let me tell you something else about the Jets and Giants that's very, very unique and very, very different right now. We know the deal with Woody Johnson. Mm-hmm. It has been exposed, not just in a story like this, but through all the whispers and all the other stories that have come out over the years about what kind of owner Woody Johnson is. And it's a bad one. I don't think there's any disputing that. He's not a good owner. And you're right. You can't have sustained success when your owner runs a team the way he's run the team since he's come back from the United Kingdom. No one's going to argue that. No one's going to say he's a good owner. I'm telling you that the exposing of it is a good thing, because I think as a human, whether it's Woody looking in the mirror himself or others around him kind of saying, hey, Woody, you got to do things differently, we are headed towards change the way James Dolan changed, the way Leon Hess changed. What I will say about Giant ownership is actually a very honest thing that no one can argue with me about. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm not telling you that there are major issues with the way John Mara runs the Giants. I'm telling you, I don't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't know is a scary answer. So we can get people to call up today, and you can argue with them. You can, maybe you're right, maybe they're right. And they're going to say, John Mara's too controlling. And I've argued against those people.
I don't think that's the case.
But you don't think it's the case.
Right.
I don't know if it's the case. I don't know what's going on. And so I'm not saying that what's going on behind the scenes with the Giants is anywhere near as bad as the Jets. Right. I can't imply that because I don't know. But I don't know if there is something there. It hasn't been exposed yet. And sometimes in life, things don't change until they're exposed. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with this Jet expose, because it sounds like there's a hubris going on here, thinking, I know what I'm doing, and it's my team. And by the way, that is a fact. It is his team. He can run it however he wants. If he wants his teenage kids to be in charge of what's going on with personnel, then you know what? That's your prerogative, dude. If it works out for you, great. Your kid's got a job in upper management and for your team for years and years and years to come. But it sounds imprudent to me. And so it becomes I'm so prideful in what I can do that I fail to see the bigger picture. But with the Giants, it almost, to me, I don't think that John Mara is controlling like that. I mean, I remember when it wasn't the Mara kids, because they were grown-ups when I was playing. It was the Mara grandkids that were around and in the organization. But they had jobs, right? They were the ball boys.
Right.
They worked in the equipment room, right? They weren't walking around like they owned the joint. Now, if you knew, you knew, hey, that guy's going to be the owner at some point, or at some, you know, way down the line, he's probably going to be the owner. But they were kids, and they felt like kids, and it was like, hey, Timmy, go get that for me. Hey, Connor, go do that for me. And they would do it, right? This, with the Jets, feels so much different. It feels more like they're trying to be owners before they're even grown-ups.
Different is true. There is no way an expose is going to come out about the Giants that's going to be similar to this. Yeah. I completely agree. But what I am saying is, I don't know what issues are behind the Giant organization. They've been a bad team for a long time, just like the Jets are. In fact, I did an exercise that was so depressing earlier today. I Googled and searched worst record in the NFL since 2013, since 2014.
since 2015. I kept doing it. Like, I kept going further. Mm-hmm. And every year between 2013 or since 2013 to now, the teams with the worst record are the New York Jets and the New York Giants. We are the laughing stock of the NFL. We're different in how we're the laughing stock.
Yeah.
We're unique in how we're the laughing stock. I'm not suggesting that the Giants are making personnel decisions based on Madden ratings. But I don't know what's been the hindrance to the New York Giants. We know what the hindrance is to the New York Jets. Woody's atrocious. Woody's terrible. And maybe I'm naive. Or maybe I'm just realizing sometimes you get so embarrassed as a public figure, there's a come-to-Jesus moment. And when I read this story in The Athletic this morning, when I heard it described by Giannotti this morning, and then I read it myself, I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is going to be a good thing. This is going to be Watergate. Sometimes Watergate's a good thing. Sometimes the expose, even if you don't want to believe everything, Jet fans, because trust me, there are Jet fans who think this is a hit job, okay? And maybe it is from former Jet employees. Yeah. It's not from the reporters. The reporters are reporting what they hear
right.
from multiple sources. But I am hoping and actually believing that Woody Johnson is going to see this. He's going to hear this. He's going to listen to sports talk radio and Jets X Factor on the web. And no, he's being joked about everywhere. This is bad. And he's going to change and finally bring in a new era of Jet football.
Well, I think only if he doesn't take it personally. And that's hard to do. It's hard not to take it personally and think that it's a personal attack. And not just a critique of how your organization is being run, right? When you expose all these things that came out in this Diana Rossini article on The Athletic, it forces you to defend yourself. Like mm-hmm. it puts you in the defensive. It's one of the hardest things about arguing, is that when you start to like offend whoever you're having an argument with, that person automatically goes on the defensive.
Right, right.
So conversation or growth or progress never happens. It's the problem with our politics right now.
Sure.
Right? It never happens because whoever you're talking to or whoever you're talking about is on the defensive. And so it's almost incumbent upon Woody Johnson to not get offended by what's being reported. But to look at it for what it is.
That's
the only way things are going to change. It's the only way what you're alluding to being a positive from this Athletic story. It's the only way that things are going to go forward and be different.
There was a moment with Leon Hess, and Leon was 82 at the time. Mm. Woody is 77, so not that far removed in age.
Right.
Where Leon Hess, after another embarrassing season with Richie Kotite, said, I've got to turn the keys over. I know what I have to do right now. And I think hiring the 33rd group, is that what they're called again?
33rd team.
33rd team. Mike Tannenbaum, a guy that he's trusted in the past, and a guy that I think is telling him the hard truths.
I hope so.
If you want me to find you good candidates, this can't happen. I'm telling you right now. I'm making believe on Mike Tannenbaum.
If you hire somebody, you have to let them do their job.
You cannot allow your children into a locker room with Mike Vrabel, who is a...
Oh, that'll never happen.
Tough ass, by the way.
That'll never happen.
That's the point.
Never.
That's the point. Because all we hear, let's put two and two together. Okay, we had Connor Hughes on the other day. The New York Jets are targeting Mike Vrabel. That is their number one choice. And for most Jet fans, that is our number one choice. You can't target Mike Vrabel and think that this is okay. You can't think it's okay.
Right.
You can't be good with it. So my hope is, and even deep down my belief is, maybe I'm positive, Tommy, now, Tommy. Maybe you rubbed off on me. That Mike Tannenbaum is telling Woody Johnson, if you want a good candidate, this crap can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it being exposed is a good thing. I really do. And I think with the Giants, there's an air of, you don't know. Like, I do. Do you know what's going on? How do you feel as a Giant fan behind the scenes, Sean? Are you confident in ownership?
I have no idea how you can be. And it doesn't mean they're bad owners, but the track record here for the last three regimes is nothing has gotten right. No decision ownership has made has come up on the right end to this point. So I don't know how you trust it gets better until if and when you magically hit on the magical position that's quarterback.
I don't think that's always the magic elixir, though.
It doesn't mean it is because they got a million problems, but my point is, that's their only hope right now to get out of it.
Well, I don't know. History is informative sometimes. And I don't think you can run teams like we used to run it back in the day type of situation. But Jim Fossil's first year we won the division. I don't think we lost the game. I think we had one tie that year, if I'm correct.
It was Gus Frerotte ramming his head into the wall.
That's right. Against the Commanders. Well, then Washington, against the then Redskins. And you know who our quarterback was?
Danny Canal.
Well, you know who it was to start the season?
Was it Dave Brown?
It was Dave Brown. And then Danny Canal. And then the subsequent years, it was Kent Graham before eventually Kerry Collins became the quarterback. And then Eli took over, et cetera. But it's not like we had Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Right.
And it's a different era, but there was also a core to our team. Guys who were like forever Giants.
Right.
When you think about it.
Right.
Myself and Amani and Strahan, obviously. They were just guys that were there for a long time. The offensive line after that 2000 season, they were there forever. And until you can find that, right? Until you find that solid foundation of players who then you can just layer on top of, you're not going to be successful.
Well, and also, to follow up your point, almost on the other side of things, when you look at the young quarterbacks that changes franchises, don't you think there's good coaching staffs and good front offices also connected to them?
There's no doubt. There's a good situation that they step into. And I've said this so many times.
You're right.
And people don't want to listen to me, or at least they keep forgetting it.
I'm listening to you, Tiki.
But the Kansas City Chiefs were established, successful organization.
Right.
Right? Go back to Ben Roethlisberger, established, successful organization.
Dude, but you tell me Bo Nix is successful not with Sean Payton this year?
Yes, they are. They're going to make the playoffs.
That's my point.
That's one of the rare... Yep.
No, I mean, he went into a good situation.
Yeah, but not really. It was bad there, right? They had no cap space. The roster was actually not that good, but they had a good defensive foundation. And Vance Joseph has done an amazing job, and Nick Bonito might be the defensive player of the year of all. Most people don't even know who the hell that is, but he's having a fantastic season. It's because of the defense. So my point is there's foundations everywhere. And Baltimore, Lamar Jackson came into a great foundation organization.
Right.
And when you look at it, it's not the player. It's not the quarterback. It's the situation that they come into.
I completely agree with you, which is why I don't think your answer, Sean, to why you're comfortable about the future is, well, we're probably going to have a top pick and our quarterback can save us. I think you need ownership. You need a head coach. You need a general manager.
Right.
And the jury's out. Now, in the Jets' case, they don't have a GM. Mm-hmm. They don't have a head coach. We don't know who that person's going to be. And this owner has been pathetic. I am hopeful that this embarrassment changes him. Makes him say, I'm handing the keys over to a brand new administration. And one can only hope that experienced administration he hands the keys over to can be successful. Right. And I admit.
Or has a plan.
Has
a plan that they're allowed to execute.
Absolutely.
To me, that's the biggest thing.
That's why right now we are two gentlemen, I'll try to clean this up, who are not well endowed, who are arguing about who's more well endowed.
Talking about the Jets and the Giants?
Correct. That's who we are right now.
Hey, the Giants are growers. That's what I'm going to say.
But believe it or not, I look at the Jets, and I actually have more faith that they may turn it around before the Giants.
Simply because they got called out?
Simply because I give you five reasons. Number one, they have more talent on their roster. I'll just start with that basic statement, which I can't imagine anyone's disagreeing with me about.
Right.
I guess Sean could try, but he would be wrong.
No, he'd be wrong.
Okay.
Right.
So they have more talent on their roster. We also know there's going to be a clean slate at GM and head coach. Mm-hmm. And that actually gives me more hope.
Right. It's almost refreshing.
Yeah. It could be Mike Vrabel. It could be this or it could be that. They also could, and I'm going to use the word could because I'm not, faithful in this. They could have a quarterback who's pretty good on their roster if they deem him worthy to come back. And yes, I think the owner is going to be so embarrassed by what is said about him today, tomorrow, and around every Christmas dinner that I think we're going to get a different Woody Johnson moving forward in 2025. The New York Giants, I don't know if Brian Daboll is going to be your head coach. Neither do you. No, I don't know if Joe Shane's going to be your GM.
Right.
Neither do you. I don't know if John Mara is a problem or not a problem as the owner of the Giants.
But not done yet.
And one last thing. Your savior at quarterback, you're a win away from picking eighth. So that one crux that you have to say, well, I may get a quarterback.
You can't go in expecting that, though.
You can't.
I know what we as fans want, or not me included, but people as fans, what they want. But you also have to go do the work on it.
Of course.
You got to go see, what is this kid made out of? Right? Are we drafting him just because we feel like we need to? Or like with Deontay Banks? Because Wink Martindale wants him, right? And so like, if you don't go do the work and you do it off an emotional whatever, whim, it's likely going to
fail. Well, also, just because you pick first or second, second for a quarterback, doesn't guarantee you anything. Hello.
No, nobody is saying there's a guarantee. There's not a guarantee for
either. So then admit you have more faith in the Jets turning it around than the Giants.
Because, what I took from your little screed there, Evan, is you have more faith because you've already fired your coach and GM and know you're moving on with a shot at that.
Yeah.
The Giants could be in that spot in 3 weeks.
Could not be.
And if they're not, then at least I know I have a coach that did win coach of the year in all of this. And the only thing I'll say is you might be right that Woody Johnson might internally go, I can't be this embarrassed. But I think you're underestimating when it comes to the big names. And you brought up Mike Vrabel. Ben Johnson's last year said no to Atlanta. Why would any coach who seemingly will have multiple options and opportunities look at a guy whose kids are basing things on Madden rating and going, yeah, that's my tiebreaker, I'm going there.
It's a great counter because that is the big fear one may have. But here is my counter. Do you think Mike Vrabel didn't hear this story till this morning?
No.
Okay, so no. You think Mike Vrabel probably knew, right? People talk around the league. Then why has it come out over the last few weeks he may have an interest in the New York Jets?
It's come out that he's the Jets. It's come out that the Jets' number one target.
No, and also it came out, Rich Cimini reported, that Vrabel has told confidants he'd be interested in the job if he had a say over the general manager. Is that not true?
Evan.
Is that a real report or a fake report?
Yes, but.
Okay, so that's all I'm saying. Don't argue with me. I didn't report
it. We've covered baseball free agency and the mouthpiece that is John Heyman for Scott Boras long enough and just went through this.
I can't believe it.
Would it behoove Mike Vrabel with a clear, already fired opening to tell other teams, I'm interested in this, to get their interest up on him?
You know, in the Vrabel case, I don't think it matters. I think he's a hot enough coaching candidate where the Bears are going to want him. If the Patriots fire Jerod Mayo, they're going to want him. That I don't think he needs to work his value up. But it is a fair concern. Like, you bring up a fair concern. What is known about Jet ownership, despite my hope that Woody's going to change, turn people off? Here's what I also know. I put a poll out this morning asking that basic question, which franchise do you have more hope in moving forward? And the Jets got absolutely destroyed. Because I think most Jet fans may not believe what I'm saying, which is Woody is going to be embarrassed enough to change. And Giant fans, I don't know about you, you guys are flying planes over your stadium because you're this disgusting.
Evan, I think also there was a big hole in your argument.
Go ahead.
And this is by no means that, we know the Giants are going to get quarterback, right? We have no idea what these kids are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers right now, you viewed as a positive that like they stabilized. He's 41, going to be 42. I think many people view the quarterback situation with the Jets as an enormous black hole right now because you feel like you're in a holding pattern where at least there's a morsel of you were getting renewed, re-energized, an opportunity with the Giants. You don't know that with
the
Jets.
We'll get to your phone calls coming up. The New York Jets got embarrassed this morning with a news story that makes Woody Johnson look absolutely awful. And my hope and belief is this will be the moment he changes. But for Giant fans who a few days ago were flying planes over MetLife Stadium, where's your confidence level in your turnaround? Instead of Met fans and Yankee fans arguing about who's bigger, maybe today as Jet and Giant fans we argue about who's not smaller. 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Very, very busy show. We'll play a game with Tiki where I will role play for him. You want to stay tuned for that. Tiki will join the program coming up at 4:30. Many of my friends who are Jet fans are not happy that I have optimism that this is the moment Woody Johnson changes, that this is the moment Woody Johnson realizes he can't be the hands-on buffoon he's been for a long time. If you don't agree with me, if you believe Woody is going to remain this problem, then I'm going to do this for you, what I'm about to do, okay? I'm about to ask a favor, okay? I'm about to ask a favor of a very powerful man who, believe it or not, Tiki, I hear listens to this show. We certainly don't agree on a lot of stuff, me and this man, but he liked you from back in the day. So if the president-elect happens to be tuning in right now, I have a message for President-elect Trump. Can you save us from Woody Johnson, please?
Your team is very good.
Can you appoint him to the ambassador of Barbados or the ambassador of the Cayman Islands? Or, I don't know, rescind the Herschel Walker thing and give it to Woody.
Oh, my God.
That was mine. That was supposed to be mine.
The Bahamas.
Mine. The Bahamas was mine.
Because if President-elect Trump does that, then we have Christopher Johnson. And the one thing about Christopher Johnson, even though he's made some bad hires, is that apparently there are two things said about Christopher. Number one, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Well, I mean, it kind of matters.
It kind of matters, you're right.
You're top of the organization.
But the second thing is, he lets you do your job. And the most important thing I want from a sports owner, whether they're owning the Mets, the Knicks, the Rams, doesn't matter. Hire the right person, give them money, and get the hell out of the way.
James Dolan.
I think Dolan's been doing that recently. Yeah.
And you've seen it.
Yeah.
Both the hockey team and the basketball team.
By the way, I think Steve Cohen's doing that because Met fans are very upset with the way David Stearns is building a rotation. I don't think Steve Cohen's the one saying sign Griffin Canning.
Right.
I think he's given David Stearns a crap load of money and is saying, run the team.
Who is that?
Listen to my Rico. You'll hear it.
Griffin Canning?
Yeah.
Sounds exciting.
That's very exciting. Not.
I believe in Jeremy Hefner.
But that's what you want from an owner. And that's the mystery around the Maras. Is John Mara, and has John Mara allowed that with Joe Shane? If that's the answer, then your only criticism would be he hired the wrong guy if they ultimately fire him.
It feels like he is allowing Joe Shane and Dabes to do their thing, follow their plan. And the only one that you would question, because we've gone back and re-looked at this, what you should have done with Daniel Jones. I mean, he was 4 years in, 5 years in, right? 5 years after that fifth year. Yeah, so he was 5 years in. He was a free agent. Let him test the market as opposed to signing him to a 4 year, $40 million a year deal, which I guess that's the going rate and I guess he earned it, but you didn't need to give it to him.
Right.
So let him go on a free agent. Like, that's the only decision where it feels like, and we only know this now because of Hard Knocks, that maybe Joe Shane wasn't all in on.
Yeah.
Because clearly, the very next year, now injuries and everything else, contributed to this. Clearly, that next year, they were ready to move on. Right? I think if they could have moved on before this season in any plausible way, I think they would have done it.
I think you're right. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free telephone number. Let's go to Pete in Cape May. Good afternoon, Pete. Hello, Pete.
You didn't hit it.
Oh, I didn't hit it.
Solid eight.
There we go.
Oh, my. That's an Evan finger issue. Oh. Sometimes I have fingering problems. My apologies. Go ahead. What?
Okay, so happy holidays. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Jeff Stoutland, would you please consider him as a candidate for a coach for the Giants? The Eagles own us. I'm tired of it. I live in South Jersey. I retired from the military, and I come back to this garbage having to hear about Saquon. It's not Saquon. It's their offensive line. Their offensive line is the top 10 offensive line for the last 12 years, despite going through three different coaches. Okay?
No, you're
so
right.
Everybody needs that young, studly guy. I want the 62-year-old guy from Staten Island who made a left tackle into a rugby player into a left tackle, lost Jason Kelce, and somehow they got better. Oh, by the way, Mekhi Becton is also crushing it this year for them.
Yeah.
It's the offensive line. It's almost like Kiki mentioned politics. It's the economy, stupid. It's the offensive line, stupid.
I like
and
that.
And the same thing.
That's favorite. What happened. I love when people whip out that car.
I love that. Pete, thank you for your
service.
From
the 92 election.
I love that. I love that, though. It's, not, it's the offensive line, stupid.
I got to tell you.
He's talking about Jordan Mailata, who played rugby.
Yes.
He was a great rugby player. In fact, I did a cooking show with him this summer.
That's random.
With Jordan Mailata. It was awesome.
So he is recommending Jeff Stoutland, who's from Staten Island,
yes,
which means our last caller probably knows him. They probably hung out. Maybe they drank together. He is saying that Jeff Stoutland, who is the Eagles' offensive line coach and has been the offensive line coach for a long time, he should be the next head coach of the New York
Giants. No, not the next head coach.
Is that what he said?
I think he's saying bring him in.
Like, well, why is he leaving the Eagles?
Because, I don't know. I wouldn't. And he wouldn't. But think of the studs that he's had.
He's saying
we talk
head
about
coach.
Mailata. We talk about Lane Johnson. You talk about Kelce, Travis's brother, Jason Kelce, who was a great center, probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's turned Mekhi Becton into a very
guard. That is true.
He's turned the security Big Dom into an old lineman too.
But this goes back for a decade.
But how would that go if all of a sudden the New York Giants announced they are hiring the 62-year-old Jeff Stoutland to be their head coach? First, people would Google.
No. I don't think he was saying be the
head coach. Yes, what else was he saying?
No, I think he was saying hire him so that you can get an offensive line.
Oh, just hire him in general?
Steal him away from the Eagles, which is never going
to
happen.
People seem to hate Sirianni. You never know.
If they hired Jeff Stoutland to be their head coach, let's say they took that step, first reaction would be, who is this guy? Then people
okay,
would Google
it doesn't
him.
Matter.
I agree. Once he's Googled and people saw Staten Island, they'd fall in love with him.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's exactly what happened.
By the way, Sirianni's just cocky. That's all he is.
Yeah.
Like his teammates love him. I mean, the team loves him, but he's just
do
cocky.
They?
They do.
You sure about that?
He's just, I'm telling you. Huh? We asked.
Okay.
I did a game.
Well, who'd you ask? Of course they're going to say they love him. What are they going to say? He's a douche. I mean, they're not going to say that.
Jalen Carter seemed to appreciate him.
Right.
On
maybe they don't agree with him all the time. But he is who he is.
Yeah.
He is not trying to fake it.
No.
He's not trying to put on a facade and be head coach. He is who he is.
And here's the reality.
And by the way, if you are a leader in any capacity, you have to do that.
No, you're right.
Because if you try to throw on a facade, people are going to be like, this dude's full of you know what.
And the reality is, as much as I don't like him, as much as Sean doesn't like him, as much as people in Philadelphia may not like him, this is a results business.
Dude wins. Period.
It's like, it's Joe Douglas, the opposite. Right. I like Joe Douglas. He's had good drafts. They lose every year. Nick Sirianni's winning every year. And right now, I would say they're the favorites to come out of the NFC. And if they're the favorites to come out of the NFC and he goes to a second Super Bowl and dare I say wins it, how could you criticize him?
What are they, 12 and...
12 and 2?
12 and 2.
Jeez. Isn't that disgusting?
Wow.
let's go to Andrew in Eastchester. How are you, Andrew?
Hello, fellas. Happy holidays.
What's up, man?
Real simple. Will Shane and Dave will be back next year? I don't think they will.
I have always thought 2-15 is a very tough nut to crack. And I've said that since October, that as much as you want to have faith in them, as much as you want to believe in Daboll because of Coach of the Year in 2022, and you want to believe in Joe Shane because this recent draft has been really good and they haven't had their own quarterback, and all those things are true. Like those three things, they're all true. 2-15 in a third year is a very tough thing to survive. And I'm going to stand by that. If they don't win another game, as much as that'll please a lot of Giant fans out there right now, and rightfully so because of the draft selection, I think they're doing something. I'm not sure if it's both of them or one of them. I brought it up weeks ago that they don't have to be a package deal and that Daboll could be the one on the outs, especially if he lost the locker room, which I don't think has happened yet or has happened, period. But I still stand, Teague. I don't know how you feel. 2-15 is tough to survive.
I mean, of course it is, but I think there are circumstances that are beyond a coach's or general manager's control, and that is the number of injuries that have mounted over the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And some of it is self-inflicted, like the managing of the Daniel Jones situation. That was their own issue. They had 2 weeks to do this, and they smashed it into 3 days, 4 days, whatever it was, starting Monday and then releasing them on Friday. It wasn't conducive to creating a winning atmosphere, right? You didn't have time to process it. And all of a sudden you're playing a game and you're not ready emotionally for it and you get your ass kicked as we saw against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, but some of it's out of their control. Like I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm not going to even predict what's going to happen. I know them too close to all of that to throw my opinion in there until it happens and then I'll let you know, but I have no idea. Honestly,
the part I don't have any idea about is who goes, if not both. Like, I've always thought, boy, they can't run it completely back at 2-15. It'd just be too difficult because you know when you have a two-win season, things get really ugly. Can't predict how ugly or why it's ugly or what the reasons are or how it looks, but you know it's tough to kind of run that back. That's my kind of fork in the road. Does ownership get rid of both of them? Does ownership just get rid of the head coach?
The challenge for me is I know Dabes is a good head coach.
Because of the coach of the year?
No, just from knowing what he's trying to do.
So even this season where the results haven't been there?
Absolutely.
And I agree with you, last few weeks he has no talent. You can still see the good head coaching this?
Yeah, because I look and see what they're trying to do, and it just wasn't being executed. And I'm talking simple things, and I detailed this earlier in the year when we were breaking down these Giant games, losses, whatever, losing by 3 points or 6 points or whatever it may have been. It's the play is there, make the throw, or the play is there, make the tackle, right? The play, to me, coaching is getting you to the door. You have to kick it open,
right?
Players make great happen. I'm tired of people always screaming, it's terrible coaching, it's terrible coaching, it's terrible. Look at the dude. And most people don't watch film closely enough to know you are in position to make a play. You don't make that play. That is not the coach's fault.
Do you think, I ask you this.
Because I see that.
Okay.
The Giants see a lot of games this year. They've been in position to make the play. They don't make the play.
And they don't have a lot of talent. So I'm kind of with you. But right. What do you think about the Jets? Do you think it's terrible coaching? Because they have a roster that should be better than this. We all know that.
Yeah. I think they let Aaron do too much of Aaron.
Mm.
And only because Aaron wasn't capable of being. Now he looks like he's capable of being Aaron. And we saw it. He threw
right.
300 yards these last couple of weeks. But early on in the season, they were just letting him be him. And he physically couldn't do it.
Because a part of why I say, and I'm certainly not, you know, the fanboyish.
So in a sense, that is coaching. Even
okay.
though it is also Aaron.
Right, right. I'm not like Sean, where Sean will always come back to saying his team is better than the other team.
Correct. Like it's not true at all.
It's like, it's automatic. Automatic. It will always come back to, Giants are better than the Jets, Yankees are better than the Mets.
They'd have to be an utter embarrassment and soft like his hockey
right.
team. And
neither
then
one of them plays. Are worth talking about, so it's
yeah,
being
exactly.
better
exactly.
than anybody.
Exactly.
I hate
exactly.
all my teams,
right.
but
they are
going.
So far below the mean, it doesn't even matter.
So I'm usually not like that. In fact, I'd probably go the other way. Maybe I'm more too negative
are
when
you,
I side.
Right.
I side with the other team.
Right, you see the jetting happening?
Yes.
And you're still talking up the Jet talent when they've proven nothing before.
No,
years.
But that's my point. I think that I look at the Jets' talent, and overall, I'm not even saying they should be a Super Bowl team. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying they should be a playoff team. I'm saying they shouldn't be this. And I don't even think that's disputable.
Right.
Like, they should not be
yeah, but
this.
This is why when we this discussion we were having just to start the show, and if you missed it, just you can rewind it back about 30 minutes, about which team is in a less desirable place. I won't say worse, but less desirable place. It's the Jets, because it's been so many layers. It's been Sauce underperforming. It's been Aaron Rodgers not being on the same page with his wide receiver. It's been bad coaching decisions. It's been ownership making a horrible choice after week four, after week five. Like, it's everything.
Oh, it's everything. But I also look at a roster that if they had competent coaching, let's say Mike Vrabel coached this team this season. I know it's a crazy, weird hypothetical. But he had this roster.
Or,
same town. What's their record?
Or you had the organization out of the way.
Well, that too.
Right?
But I also never believed fully in Robert Saleh, and the jury was still out on
true,
him.
True, but they were 2-3. It's
I agree.
Like, it's not like they were
Teak, I didn't want to fire
five.
Him. I didn't want to fire him.
Right.
Not at that point. But I'm just saying, if there was an established Mike Vrabel with this roster, you telling me they're 4-10? No one actually believes. Sean doesn't even believe that. You think they're 4-10 if Vrabel's coaching this thing?
No, not 4-10.
Okay. Then there you go. Then thank you. End of discussion.
Didn't say 10-7.
I didn't say 10-7 either. By the way, it wouldn't be 10-7. It's only 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
10-4. I didn't say 10-4. I think they're probably 8-6. And by the way, you know what 8-6 is a good enough to be? Right there.
8-6 is right in the conversation.
Right in the conversation.
By the way, 8-6, you're in the... No, you're not.
Yeah, you're tied. You'd be tied with the Los Angeles Chargers.
You're tied with the Chargers.
The Los Angeles... You know what I call the Chargers, by the way? They play tonight. They're the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego. That's my new name for them. Or actually, maybe it should be the San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's better.
That's better.
Right. Of L.A. County or something.
Yes.
Right.
The San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles.
Via.
Yes, via. Eric is calling from Rivervale. How are you, Eric?
By way of.
I'm good, Evan. How you doing? Kiki, what's happening, brother?
All is good, dude.
Oh, man. Being a Jets fan, Evan, it's not a whole lot of fun. And it's like every couple of weeks or month or so, it just seems to get worse and worse. And Woody Johnson always seems to be the culprit, right? I mean, that's really where it starts. And
yep.
Something that really kind of triggered me was something that Sean said, is that, you know, that they're just, you know, the either organization could just be a quarterback away, or maybe it's even a coach away. But the reality is, particularly in the case of the Jets, that that's just not true, because they're so, like, fundamentally or foundationally flawed, right, from Woody down. Like, you know, look at what Sam Darnold's doing in Minnesota, for example. Look, I'm not saying he's, you know, Joe Montana, but he's obviously a much better quarterback than he was here in New York for the Jets.
No doubt,
right.
Time.
No doubt.
Also, I feel like the Jets ruin almost everything that comes there. I mean, shoot, they're making a guy that's won the MVP four times and is guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer look mediocre at best. I don't care that he's 40 or not. Clearly, it's the Jets, right? Like, everything they touch is a disaster.
100%.
And that starts with Woody. I mean, there is no example in the NFL ever, and Tiki, you would know this better than me, but with ownership's involvement is a success.
Well, the Cowboys early, you could point to, obviously.
I mean, you could say the Cowboys now. Stephen Jones is the GM.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean
isn't that his hand? They're just obvious about it.
Jerry is the GM.
Okay, father and son are running the team.
Stephen and title. But their hands are all in it.
Yeah.
The difference is, while they can't win a championship, they've been pretty damn successful.
Well, and also, they're obvious about what they're doing. There's no mystery about it. It doesn't need to be reported in the Athletic. Yeah. They're running the team.
Exactly right. Well, if something's wrong, it's on me. But if something's right, it's also on me. And that's they want that smoke, right? They want that in Dallas. I can't say that's what's happening with the Jets.
No, but here's what I can say. And I know this is a guess and this is a wish, but I want to use some evidence to back up that this could be the moment that embarrasses Woody Johnson enough to change, to be different. James Dolan, we mention a lot. And we mention him a lot because James Dolan was the epitome of a bad owner in this town. He was too handsy. Mm-hmm. He got involved in the Melo trade, which, by the way, has been confirmed. I was lectured for years. Dolan never got involved in the Melo trade. It's not true. Melo's admitted it. Woj and Melo basically said it on the podcast. Right. Yeah. He walked into a meeting with Denver and said, tell me what you want. I need Melo. So we all know what happened. Okay? That debate is over. And there needed to be something or some things to happen before James Dolan said, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I got a great email.
But what was it?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
And you tell me if this qualifies. I got a great email from a regular contributor to the Rico Bronya, but also a loyal listener, Evan and Tiki.
Pete Hoffman?
Who says it was not Pete Hoffman. Yeah. It's a guy who emails quite a bit. And he said, and it sends me the story of when James Dolan got into a shouting match with a fan at Madison Square Garden.
Evan at RicoB.com.
Yes, thank you. And he banned the fan for life. Mm-hmm. And it was a very embarrassing story. And it was a huge story that he argues with this fan. He bans him for life. He says it was an ambush. And months later, keys handed to Leon Rose. Now, is that the moment that changed James Dolan? Maybe it did. Mm. I don't know. There was a lot of really embarrassing things over the years that may have gotten us there. But we're here now. We're here now where Leon Rose is running the New York Knicks.
Right.
Why can't there be a moment where Woody Johnson, and I do think this is the moment because I have evidence to believe it. They're in the middle of a coaching change. A GM change. They've hired a group that is going to look for top candidates, including Mike Vrabel.
Right.
And I think this story is so embarrassing. And it's such a rock bottom moment that you failed with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Everything's embarrassing. Your kids are involved. Madden ratings. Cursing out players. Or not. Well, suck is kind of a curse.
Yeah.
That this is that moment. And I know it's tough for some Jet fans to believe. And again, am I a positive guy?
No.
Thank you, Tommy. It's not like I sit here trying to find reasons for success. That's what Tommy does.
You're wearing a sweatshirt with all four of the teams you root for that usually, besides the Mets, stink. Is that fair to say?
The Jets?
Stink.
Islanders?
Stink.
Yeah, Lou Lamoriello. By the way, guy wrote me a great message.
Lou did?
No, about Lou Lamoriello.
Oh, same guy?
And he probably copied it from somewhere, but it doesn't matter. He says, this is so funny. All the drones in New Jersey are from Lou Lamoriello looking for former Devils to pick up to save the Islanders.
Hockey joke.
That's a good hockey joke.
Good hockey joke, yeah.
The Brooklyn Nets suck.
The Nets still in the league.
And then, yes, the Mets.
Who don't suck.
So I'm not a positive guy, but I can see this being the come the Jesus moment. I really can. Are you laughing at me?
Kind of.
You're allowed to come to Jesus, you know?
Are you laughing at me, Sean?
I am, but I also am laughing at you because I see a piece of me in you.
I don't like that.
We have no choice as things are at rock bottom, but to look for the positives and hope, and that's all you're doing. So I respect.
And I don't usually do that. I usually just scream and yell like a lunatic. But today I'm like, you know what? Lee's in Deer Park. What's up, Lee?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? I want to touch on the Woody Johnson thing, but before I do, let's just all hope that Santa Cohen and his little Al Stearns put some starting pitching in our stocking in the next week or so. Mm.
So you're saying Griffin Canning doesn't count as a Christmas present?
It didn't really. It felt more like a eighth day of Hanukkah than it did a Christmas.
I gotcha.
So really quick, about rock bottom, I think Kiki might be able to help me out with my logic on this one.
Go ahead.
But two things. I think it's very important for current players on the Jets or players that were just recently on the Jets, like, you know, Huff or Mike Williams or somebody like that, to really come out, not only confirm the story, but put their name to it. Not be embarrassed. No, don't do it anonymously. Really put their name to it. And I think it's also important, I don't know, Tiki, can the players' union get involved with this and be like, this is not a good work environment.
Well, it's interesting,
and you can't have complete strangers come into the locker room that aren't credentialed personnel or players and start, you know, walking around like they own the place. Well, like that, I mean, can the players' union do anything?
Technically, they do kind of own it because they're the kids of the owner, but it's interesting you bring that up, though, Lee, because the Players Association for, I think, 2 years now, have been trying to restrict access to the locker rooms. I'm not just talking.
And that would apply to owners, right? Or just media members?
It's starting out as media members because it's emotional after games, and guys get themselves in trouble by letting the emotion from Malik Nabers is a perfect example. We've seen this a couple of times this year, and he's walked it back every time the next day or later on, that whatever it is. And so it's really invasive when your emotions are spread out like that. Veterans, some guys who have been around it for a long time, they can handle it. They can compartmentalize. They can just draw on that resource in the back of your head of canned answers that tell a little bit of the story but reserve the emotion. A lot of guys can't.
Mm.
And so the PA is trying to protect the player from themselves, in a sense,
but can they
by
do...
closing the locker room.
And that one's so, that one makes a lot of sense, and I get that, but can they
so much
do
sense.
That with an owner? Feels different. It's a different circumstance.
To me, that's on the owner. That's on the owner making that determination, that decision that, you know what, if you're not you're not supposed to be in the locker room, you're not allowed in the locker
room. Of all the things that were reported in this athletic story, to me there was one thing that was far, far, far and away more egregious than anything else. And when we come back, we're going to role play that situation with Tiki Barber. Plus more of your calls, 888-808-1019. The Jets are in a bad place. The Giants are in a bad place. Who do you have more faith in? 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.